This is the Complete Shooter Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Armistead, and the founder of Complete Shooter himself, Kirk Miles. Complete Shooter is dedicated to helping young players reach the next level and achieve all of their basketball dreams. So if you want to know what it takes to be a great player at the high school, college, and professional level, you are in the right place. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of our podcast. I'm super excited for our guest today. Really, really cool story. As always, I'm Jesse Armistead, and I have Kirk here with me again. And our guest today is Joseph Elliott. So welcome, Joe.
Howdy.
So
howdy, howdy.
Excited to have you here. And again, like I said, you have a really, really cool story. So I think it's going to be really good for a lot of our listeners. I've been training Joe for, how long has it been now? A year?
Yeah, it'll be a year in October.
October? Cool. Because I think you were in here the first week I had this gym, right?
I was, before the floors were even down.
Yeah, we had half the floor in here when Joe came for his first lesson. So,
how did Joe find out about us?
Honestly, I just looked up, I looked it up on the internet. I looked up personal trainers in Salt Lake, and the Complete Shooter came up. But it was giving me like information as far as like all over the valley. So I didn't know if I was going to have to drive, you know, an hour and a half. But I was willing because it was what I wanted to do. And so I gave you a call, and you told me that there's a location opening up in Taylorsville, which is actually closer than the one I was planning on going to previously.
Well, there you go. All right. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Joe, give us a little bit of background. How long have you been playing basketball, and kind of where did it all start?
So I've been playing basketball since I was in Pampers. You know, pictures, plenty of pictures with me in the, with a little Tykes hoop and my diapers running around.
Classic.
My family consistently says that my first word was ball. I don't know the truth to that, but I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. But yeah, I just... you know, when you're a kid, I was in love with the movie Space Jam. I watched Space Jam consistently over and over and over again, and I just wanted to be, I wanted to be Mike, you know, I wanted to be really good at playing basketball. And so I kind of just, I started playing, I remember playing like kindergarten where they would give you like colored wristbands, and that's how you knew you were guarding. And yeah, I mean, it just kind of went from there. Going to play super, I started playing Super League when I was in like second grade. So I played Super League all up until about fifth or sixth grade, and then I kind of stopped playing up until ninth grade year. I made the ninth grade team, and yeah, I didn't decide to play any more basketball after that. I decided to play tennis and ice hockey. So kind of weird when I tell people about my situation, because I'm actually really good at multiple different sports. So, but yeah, so that's kind of the whole thing.
Did you play with the same kids when you were playing in Super League? Did you play with the same kids and were on the same team the whole time?
Yes. So I played with a group of guys in West Jordan. We played on what's called the Copper Hills. We had a Copper Hills Super League team. And I grew up playing with all of those kids. And it was kind of cool because I went to two different elementary schools, and those elementary schools go to different middle schools, but they come to the same high school.
Same high school.
So I literally played with everyone. I played with everyone that played on the sophomore, junior team, freshman team. I played with everyone. So yeah, and it was really nice because I kind of got to grow up with them. But then when stuff kind of started not going my way, it was really tough to see all of my friends like still together and hanging out and going to lunch and doing stuff. And I was just kind of like, I'm not a part of that anymore. But that's okay. I made my own way, you know.
Yeah.
Started playing tennis, and that was really well. And then playing ice hockey, and that went really well too. So, yeah.
So what led to that decision as far as moving into tennis and ice hockey?
I would say, and I'm going to say that this may sound very, very not good, but I would say puberty wasn't the nicest to me. I hadn't stretched out yet. So I had stretched out lengthwise, and I was stretching widthwise, and I just couldn't, I couldn't keep up. I couldn't hang with those kids anymore. They were just running circles around me. And so I was trying to figure out what I could still do athletically. You know, started watching Serena, I mean, Serena Williams, my goodness, started watching her play tennis, and just fell, I just started playing, fell in love, and I ended up playing my freshman year, my sophomore year, and my junior year. And then, you know, tennis isn't really the most popular sport when in my city. It's not really like you're super cool playing tennis. So I had a couple friends playing ice hockey at Bingham High School. And so I started going to play ice hockey. I had to learn how to ice skate and handle the puck and do different things. And yeah, so just played. It was wild. And then, you know, learning all that stuff and technique. And then after that, and after high school, I was like, I finally hit my growth spurt. I was skinnier, I was taller, and I was like, I can still do this. I can still hoop. And I've been hooping my whole life. So let's just get to it. And I just, I mean, I played like it was, you know, like it was fun. I didn't really take it too seriously up until about last year, around this time, September, October. I said, you know, I'm tired of working day-to-day jobs and not being too happy. So, but ball is what something that I love to do, and it's something that I'm always going to be a part of. So I got to give it everything I can as far as being good and getting a lot of skill in that thing. So it was really nice, especially coming in here. You guys got it on lock. You guys got a really nice system going on, and it helped me excel, you know, way further than I was ever expecting to go. So, yeah. That's sorry, great. Long-winded answer.
You're good. It's a great answer, though.
Very yeah. Long-winded answer.
Yeah, so there's a lot of kids that kind of get to that, kind of that ninth grade, 10th grade year is when kids either make it or they don't, right? And for you, you were one of the kids that didn't make it with basketball.
Yeah.
Right? And so for most people, that's the end of it, right? Kirk, have you had any experiences with that and kids that kind of go through that?
Yeah, I've had kids that, like Joe, that just physically couldn't hang with the kids. You know, physically they were, you know, they hadn't hit their growth spurts or whatever. And, you know, in high school they're 5'5", 5'6", and, you know, they're not, and they weren't fast. You know, you either got speed or height. You can't teach speed and you can't teach height. Yep. So, you know, they didn't have either one of those things. So having those kids, then after high school or in their senior year, have a huge growth spurt. I've got a kid that went from 5'5 to 6'5.
Jeez.
You know, over a 2-year period of time. And blessed. So then all of a sudden he had his height. And the good thing about that is when he was playing, he played all through. He didn't make any of the high school teams, but he kept playing rec and kept playing, you know, getting with his friends and playing and everything else. So he had great guard skills. He had good guard skills, I should say. Not great, but good guard skills. So then when he got his height, he still had the good guard skills. And so that helped him to be able to walk on and then get a scholarship and be able to play. So
nice.
So it's kind of a, but you don't see that very often, you know, because most kids, if they don't play high school ball, they've lost their fire in the belly. They don't have it anymore. And if you don't have it, then, you know, there's no chance for you to make it to that next level. So that fire in the belly is pretty critical.
Yeah. And we'll get back to that in a sec. But again, I think a lot of kids will, when they don't make the team, then they're just done, especially if like basketball is their thing, you know, then they don't make it. They're like, all right, well, I'm just done. You know, they play rec leagues or whatever. But for you, Joe, like what did you get out of tennis and ice hockey that's helping you be a better basketball player now?
Dang, that's a good question. I would say with ice hockey, I could use ice hockey as a perfect example. It's probably the hardest sport I've ever had to learn because you have to learn how to skate before you can even play the sport. And then And I use that in the way of, I was not a good skater. I was 6'5", 200 plus pounds, and I didn't know how to ice skate. And I worked and worked and worked and worked to where I could be comfortable on the ice, to where I wasn't even focused on skating. Like, I wasn't even thinking about, oh, I'm like standing up on the ice and I'm like moving and doing all these technique things. I can follow the puck with my eyes and be a part of the play. But more or less, I just use that as an example of, I don't like to give up. I don't like to, I just don't like to give in. I just, I'm very persistent. If it's something that I really want, I want to be a really good basketball player. I want to be the best basketball player I can be. And I just do not give up, especially even with tennis. You know, people play tennis when they're small, especially that play up to right. when they're high school age. So they're all just, I mean, they're doing stuff that you've never seen before. And yeah, I mean, just looking outside, you have to really just try really, really hard in whatever you do. So
yeah, you had some catching up to do with both those sports, didn't you?
I did.
Tennis,
yes,
you had a bunch of catching up to do. And yes, then also sir. With hockey, you had a ton of catching up to do.
I did.
Yeah.
People play hockey in when you start playing hockey, you start playing when you're a kid. So you're learning technique and you're learning all that stuff when you're small. So to learn that, I started learning that when I was a sophomore. So, and I ended up playing varsity both the years that I played, which was really nice. So, yeah.
How many players are on a hockey at one time? How many's on it?
So we have...
I know they've got kids, you know, on the bench or whatever, but how many actually play?
So there's it's based off a line system. So there's three forward lines. So three sets of lines of forwards. And then there's three sets of defensemen usually in two pairs. Forwards are in three pairs. So we'd had a team of about, I'd say 15 to 20 kids, including our goaltender.
Okay.
Including, we had two different goaltenders at one point. Yeah. But yeah.
Did you ever get in any fights when you did hockey? Because that's kind of like you're bumping into each other all the time.
So. No.
Did you pull any jerseys over somebody's head?
No.
Beat them up?
I did. It kind of turned me into like one of those, like I was trying to act hard and stuff because I played defense. So my job is to protect my goalie. So if you take a shot after the whistle, or if you chop at him while he's like trying to cover the puck and the whistle's blown, or you even get too close to him, we're up in your face and we're stick checking you. We're making sure that you're not, we're so protective of our goalie. But as far as fights and things like that, no, I didn't really get in too many fights.
The only reason I ask you is because I'll talk to people that, you know, I've never been to a hockey game, but I'll have people say, oh, I love going to hockey. I love it. Well, what do you love about it? Oh, the fights.
Yeah.
I love the fights.
Yeah. No, they're actually moving to get rid. They're trying to head away from fighting. They're trying to not have that be a thing. But it's a big part of the sport.
Well, it's contact. You're making contact, and anytime you have contact, you're going to. That's it. It amazes me in football where you've got the linemen, defensive and offensive linemen, and they're going against each other all the whole game.
Yeah.
You just think there'd be more fights with that, right?
It's true. It's like, I'm going to get you next time. Yeah. Next play. Next play, I'm going to get you. Yeah.
That's awesome. So I think, like, from, like I said, I've been training Joe for over a year now, coming up on a year. And it's like the most obvious thing is your drive, right? And like you said, you don't like to give up Mm-mm. or give in, right? And learning those sports, like learning how to skate, learning how to just play tennis, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't take any like necessarily athleticism, right? You need a little bit and you'll build muscles and the motor system, but most of that is just putting in the effort to learn, right? And that drive. And I remember there's been a lot of times, because you've been working like a full-time job.
I do, yeah. Year, right? I work like 50 plus hours a week.
Yeah. So Joe's working a full-time job. He comes in to do a workout, and a lot of times we would do a skills workout and then a shooting workout.
Oh, okay.
Right. So mm-hmm. we'd be doing 2 hours of stuff. And then Joe would say, yeah, I was shooting pretty good at the rec center this morning. And so he had already done like a full workout yeah. before work. Then he would go to work. Then he'd come work out for 2 more hours. And so I think it's a great example of like, if you want something, you can put the work in. Right.
Agreed.
And I mean, I think I know the answer, but was it hard for you to put that much work in?
It wasn't hard. It was more just it was just making the decision to start the, cause I mean, I could still be working, you know, I could still be doing what I'm doing and not putting as much time into basketball, but it's just the decision I made. I made the decision that I don't want to give up on my dreams, and I want to prove everyone wrong that may have not picked me or may have thought that I was bigger or couldn't hang with anybody. I'm really, really excited to prove people wrong. I'm really into that.
Yeah. And you're already doing it. So haven't mentioned it yet, but Joe is leaving this Friday to go play at Wenatchee Valley College and go play college basketball. And so that's why his story is so cool, because he didn't play in high school as a sophomore, junior, senior, right? And for most kids, that's the end of it.
Yep.
Right. And I think, again, the coolest thing is just the drive and the stuff you're willing to do, because most kids will not send emails to every coach possible.
I did. Right?
And so, and Joe was willing to do that. And he sent me, he was like, this is my draft. What do you think of it? Mm-hmm. How can I make it better? And then he just sent it out to everybody. Right.
Yep.
And I think a lot of kids are too prideful to be like, well, if schools don't want me, then I don't want to go there. Right. But very few people actually get recruited.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You have to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Jesse, what did you see in Joe when you started working with him that you knew you had somebody kind of special that could maybe do what he's done and go play some college ball? What was that moment for you?
So there's a lot of stuff, but from the very start, I mean, obviously he walks in, he's like 6'4", right? Right, 6'5".
Every basketball player gives himself a few inches. I'm 6'6".
6'6".
With right. shoes on.
There you go. I'm 6'6". Well, you play with shoes on. So.
Yeah, you play with your shoes
plays
on.
Plays with shoes on, so yeah, 6'6". Yeah, so yes, sir.
Anyway, so he was tall. You know, he comes in with dreads, and I'm like, you know, but they're like, and it was the weirdest thing the first time he came in, because he kept calling me sir, and I was like, I'm like 25, like, I'm not old enough to be a sir yet. But that was part of it, is that just as soon as he came in, he was listening, and he was willing to do kind of whatever I told him to do, right? And obviously that's a lot of trust, and you got to make sure somebody's telling you the right stuff. But throughout the whole process, he's always been a great listener and a great learner.
Roger that.
So that was kind of the
That's so cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, and we've come a long way. Like, you were already a good basketball player when you started, right? But there's so many like little details we've worked on.
100%. There's so many small details that you don't understand until you start wanting to play at that next level. Because I mean, it's just they know so much, and the game just evolves so much, and it just gets smarter. The more the higher up you get, the smarter you have to become.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what are you most looking forward to at with playing at Wenatchee?
I'm looking forward to there's so much time dedicated to playing basketball in our schedule throughout the week. So, I mean, we're in the gym for two hours in the morning, and then we have a 5-hour break to do school or whatever, school or work. Then we have a 2-hour study session for school, and or if you're done with school, work on film, studying the team. And then we have another 2.5-hour practice after that again. They got a shooting gun. They got equipment. They got all of the stuff that I've wanted, that I've not necessarily had, but wanted to have, that I feel like can help me excel. Wenatchee is super small, So there's not a lot of distraction is what a lot of players tell me. Their record obviously shows it. They've been really good their past few seasons. So, I mean, and just the next level, the next level in general, it's just something I never thought I would be able to achieve. And now that I'm here, I just want to be fully embraced in everything and just take it day by day and just go through the motions, be there 5 hours a day, and if not more, because I have a lot, I have a lot of catching up to do. A lot of these kids are younger than me and they're doing stuff that I can't do yet or, you know, struggle to do, or they're got 3 inches on me and I'm still 6'6", but still 3 inches on someone's a lot.
Yeah.
And especially if they know how to use their body and know how to use it more than you do in technique wise. So,
well, what you just described is a gym rat's dream, right?
Yeah.
To be doing that much basketball.
Yeah. Cause I've just been working, you know. Yeah. It's hard to squeeze. I have to squeeze in work, you know, not work, but I mean the time, the practice, I have to squeeze it in as much as I can, especially just with life and having a job and things like that.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, for everybody out there, I actually played at the same college that Joe is going to, different coach at the time, but, so I love that area and I love Wenatchee. And when Joe was telling me about it, he was like, man, I love the city. And I was expecting to hear there's this awesome river that you get to go over and there's hikes and there's all this stuff. And there's Leavenworth, this little, did you drive up there?
Yeah. The little Swedish little town.
German town.
German town. It looks really cool.
German tourist town.
It looks really, you know, cool.
It's just like, man, there's so much stuff to do there. But he was like, I love it because it's a small town. I'm not going to have any distractions.
Yep. Right? Yeah. And to boot and to just add a cupcake on the top or icing on top, you know what I'm saying? I get my associate's degree. You know, I never thought that I'd be going to college in general. It's something that I never planned on doing. And it's something that I want to achieve now. I want to do academics. I want to be... not even more or less for a fallback plan, like if basketball doesn't work out, but to make myself more successful and more valuable as a person is what I'm, basketball is, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
But having having that piece of paper with my name on it would be so much more rewarding for me.
Yeah, you're adding to your resume. You're adding to your basketball resume.
Yeah.
You're adding to your educational resume. So you're just adding things that just puts you in a better position as a person. So that is and I like how you put that, how much you love going up there for basketball. And then, oh, by the way, I get my associates.
Yeah. that's the
plan. So that's good.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, then, you know, there are a lot of cool things to do up there. But, I mean, I'm from Utah, so we kind of have that, not really per se in our backyard, but you go up to the mountains, you drive 10, 20 minutes, you can go on a hike and you can do whatever. So, and it's kind of really similar to Utah, actually. Yeah. It looks
There's no river like that, though.
That's true. That's true.
So
it's kind of scary.
I lived opposite side of the river, and so I was driving over the bridge every single day to get to school. And it was just awesome.
What river is that?
Columbia River.
Columbia.
Yeah. So, just awesome.
That's a beautiful. You take that trip and go up the Columbia River and go all the way up to Oregon. There isn't a more pretty scenery than that right there. That's a beautiful.
It is very pretty.
Yeah.
I'm excited for. I hope they got some good, like, you know, food over there. They're off the river, so you know, maybe. Easy trade access in and out of the, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. My wife doesn't like seafood, so we didn't get to try much of that out.
Big fan. But, I'm a big fan.
Same. So, when you emailed all the coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got contacted by two of them, right?
Yes.
So Wenatchee, and then there was another school.
Yes.
And the way you described it to me was Wenatchee, you would have a smaller role on a better team.
Yes.
Pierce, you would have a bigger role on a worse team.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So what led you to choose the better team, smaller role?
More of a challenge. Something I have more to prove than... Because like you're saying, the other coach from the other school, he sounded like he had a role for me already. And I didn't know how I was going to be in that role. I don't know. I like the challenge of Wenatchee. They have taller players. It seems like it gets taller the more you move to the eastern side of the conference than versus the west side of the conference. I wanted to play with taller people. I wanted to play with a better program because I want to prove that I can hang with that too. To even get an offer from Wenatchee was like, holy snap. Like how did they offer me? Like, and I'm looking at their highlights and stuff and I'm looking at the players that they have and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like that's amazing that you guys want me to play. So just give me the opportunity and I'm gonna run with it. I'm gonna go as far as I can. I know it's gonna be a little bit of a rocky road at the beginning just because I'm trying to find my place and find my role. And I just think as long as I work hard and I show my teammates that I'm willing to do everything for them to win, because I really care about the success of the others around me. You know, I want them to know that I'm gonna work so hard for them, and I hope that they work hard for me too. So and I hope that they accept me more or less, because I'm 22, you know. A lot of them are younger, or you know, being 22 is weird. It's kind of weird going into it all because I'm older than everyone, so lots to learn.
Well, if you're putting in the work, then there's not much they can complain about.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
But that kind of goes to something we've talked about before. Is it better to be a role player on a really good team or the superstar on a really bad team? Right. And remind me, Kirk, what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, it's kind of like when I think about that, I think about, you know, do you want to be a shipmate on a huge streamliner, or do you want to be a captain of a rowboat? Right. So kind of what do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself, or do you just want to be, like I said, a captain of a rowboat? So if you want to be something bigger than yourself, then it makes sense, the choice that you made. And I think that choice, it's going to push you more, to get better than the other choice. The other choice, I think you might have felt like, this is kind of what I'm thinking, and you can correct me, but I'm kind of thinking that the reason you didn't choose the other choice is because maybe there was a little bit too much pressure for you to be the guy, and where you haven't been playing basketball at a high level, I feel like that you probably were a little bit nervous about taking on that role of being the guy. Would that be correct?
Yeah, so they explained to me that they only had maybe two or three players that were my height. So, and I was kind of like, oh, like, so everyone is a guard then? Or am I playing the four or the five? Or how is that going to work? Yeah. Because I've been training to play the two or the three. Like, I've been training wing this whole time.
Yeah.
And Wenatchee, they want me, they strictly want me at wing. Because they have taller players. So
that fit what you wanted your role to be. You wanted to face the basket. You wanted to be you wanted to be a wing player.
Correct.
And so that fit what your desires are. And if you're going to go the next level, which would be, you know, going on to a 4-year school, because it's a 2-year school, so then, you know, you got to be selling yourself again in a couple of years of where you're going. And so what skills do you want to really work on and improve where you're at here, right?
Correct.
So this is a real developmental kind of experience for you.
Yes.
So,
yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That makes sense.
Yeah. A 6'6 center might work at junior college, like yeah. if you're trying to go somewhere else.
Yeah, you'd be a two or a three.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, what? I guess from this past year of training that we've been doing, right? What are the things that you feel like you've improved at the most?
I would say so. Growing up and being the tallest player, or being, you know, the tallest kid playing rec league, playing super league, they always play you at the big. So, excuse me. So when I started getting older and I'm realizing that, no, I'm a wing. I'm not 6'10". I'm not, you know, 7 foot. So I'm not going to be playing the big anymore. I realized that I have to get quicker off the dribble, and I realized that I have to get an actual dribble game down, like an actual, and be able to handle the ball and like be able to be trusted with the ball. I've never had that. Working with you, it really pushed me, because the drills you guys have in this program are made to frustrate you. They are made to kind of almost get you out of your head, so that I'm not even really like shoot, like it just feels like I'm not even there sometimes, because I'm going through the motions. So doing this, I've been reading, you know, reading a lot of books, reading things, reading this and that, and I've become a lot more mindful of the game of basketball and being present in the moment and just playing. Jesse's talked to me about that so many times, because we'll be doing drills and I'm missing shots or I'm reacting to things and I'm screaming and hollering and yelling, and he's so calm. He's just like, why are you this way? You don't need to be this way. Let's see, what else have I gotten better at?
What was his raw shooting form like when he got here? Did he have a pretty good shot already?
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. I was a left. So I guess I'm a thumb pusher is what I'm called. I didn't know this, but I would not even guide the ball, but almost shoot the ball two-handed. And so when I first started getting into this shooting program, it was teaching me form shooting and teaching me that my left hand has to be the guide hand, not the shooting hand. You don't need as much left hand action. So he had me doing the quarters, you know, putting quarters in between your fingers and
got all the tricks,
taping them and yeah, everything. And it's definitely made me more of an accurate shooter. And just handling the ball. Cause I mean, when you're handling the ball and you're still pushing with your thumb, it's kind of hard to like do combinations and get into a shot and be able to hit the shot really nicely if you're still pushing with your thumb. So
yeah. Okay. That's
yeah.
Yeah. And I think like it's a great example of like Joe's was obviously older. High school was over. When he came in, he was getting ready for a showcase in a couple months. Did you ever even actually get to go?
I didn't, because I got my offer before the showcase, so I said.
So it kept getting pushed back because of COVID or whatever. Yeah. But he was getting ready for the showcase. That was in a couple months. So it was kind of like I don't want to like break everything down, because then we won't have enough time to get it natural. Mm-hmm. But we did look at that left hand a little bit, and it was a pretty solid thumb push, right? Not much hand turn on it, but a solid thumb push. And there's still a little bit now, but we got it to the point where it wasn't affecting his shot anymore.
Correct.
Right. And so I think that's a great example of like when you're older and you don't necessarily want to change everything. Like I know a lot of pros are just looking for tiny adjustments, right?
Yeah.
Cause they don't have 5-6 more years to redo their whole form.
Yeah.
Or like a kid that comes and starts with us right before basketball season.
Yeah.
Right. We don't want to change too much, but tiny adjustments like that can make a big, big difference.
Huge difference.
Yeah. Yep. And then some of the other things we've worked on as far as skills is just the way your body moves when you do moves now, mm-hmm. right?
I was such a stand-up player.
Yeah.
I had to really learn how to get low and squat and get into your moves. Because, I mean, you can, with length, you can really get by people if you're lower. I mean, I was taller, so I mean, it wasn't really working to my advantage until I learned to go lower.
Yeah.
Going lower helped me so much. Helped me so much. Getting downhill, looking for guys open on the wings. Because, I mean, once I get downhill, they're crashing. So I can find an easy out. It's just really nice. Really, really solid. Awesome.
Which, as a 6'6 guy, getting low is hard.
It is. Right. It is. We all have bad knees for something. All of us tall players, I don't know what it is, but it's just our knees, man. They hurt all the time.
Knees and ankles, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just after a year and, you know, and obviously Joe was going home and putting in the work on his own, so he would take the stuff we did and he would go work on it. And he would get frustrated because he has that drive to get better. But I think, like you said, the cool thing is he's reading, right? Which, again, nobody does anymore, right? Especially young kids. But
you got it. There are a lot of books out there that are really helpful.
Yeah. And really we kind of go back and forth and talk about books.
And mm-hmm. That was kind of like cool, too. So, that was really cool.
Inner Game of Tennis. What was the one you were reading?
I was reading Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. That's good. That one was insane.
He's the Navy SEAL, right?
He is, yeah. Yeah, mixed race, Navy SEAL. Had a lot of, like, similar, not really similar, but we had a lot of, like, common things that...
So you could really relate to
kind of relate, yeah, yeah, more or less. And it just... And then the other one, Tim Grover.
Yeah.
He does Winning and Limitless, too.
Relentless.
And that, I mean, it's just so good. All the information you can find in these books are really, really, really helpful.
Yeah, super good.
Well, they say the things that make you a better person are the books you read, the people you associate with, and the events that you attend. Those three things, if you do those three things, you make adjustments and changes in your life that's gonna help you with your pursuits. So... Very true. So that's good to hear that you were picking up a book and reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much that we can do in an hour of working together here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do try and talk about like the mental side of it and the physical side, but there's only so much we can do in an hour, right? And we are worth the time. So
definitely,
if you want more hours, then you're paying a couple thousand of bucks a month.
Yep.
Right. So, if you're not going on and doing stuff on your own, then, you know, you're never going to get there.
That's another thing, too, is being an adult and having to be like, I'm paying for a personal trainer to teach. And I'm like 20, like I'm 21, like I'm 22. This is crazy. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I love the game. I'm trying to get better. And this is one of the, this, I mean, you guys are one of the only programs in the Salt Lake Valley that do this. It's awesome what you guys have created. It's amazing. It's helped me. It wouldn't be possible to be where I am today without the program. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I just had a good question. Oh, there were several times where you would come in and you were a little frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of be like, what's up? And you're just like, you know, people aren't really supporting my dream, right?
Yeah.
So what's that experience like, especially as like, you know, as a young kids, we're all like, I'm gonna play NBA, right?
Yeah.
And our parents are like, okay,
right? Yeah,
we'll support you, but
yeah,
you know, whatever. But what's that like being an adult and still, you know, having kind of that resistance? And, you know, usually that resistance is well-intentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like you need to find a good job and
yeah,
you know, take care of yourself. And
it's time to grow up, Joe.
Yeah,
it's time to grow up.
See, and I was doing that. I was a mailman. I was an appliance installer. I was a warehouse worker. Like, I did all this stuff, and I was like, this is not what I want to do in my life. I want to be one of those guys waking up and talking about sports, or I want to be one of those guys waking up and going to stretch and foam out and get ready for practice. I don't want to be doing that. But anyway, more or less, I just couldn't, I kind of got back to earlier. Like, I really wanted to prove those wrong, that didn't, that more or less didn't like do me wrong, but didn't really coddle me and support me and like kind of help me grow more or less. It's like they just saw me as a big kid and that I couldn't hang, and it was just like, all right, well, maybe go try another sport. But telling people, and I'm telling people that too, and they don't understand that you just, when it's like a voice in the back of your head that won't go away at all, and it's just like, hey, you can go over, like, you should go be doing that over there, because that's hard, like, and maybe you don't want to do that, but in the end it's going to make me better. I'm not gonna regret it at all. My parents didn't really support me too well, but I mean, you know, you do what you got to do. You do what you want to do, and if you want to do it, then go do it.
Yeah, one of the great things that you can learn in life is that there's so many people in this world that go to work every day, you know, put in their 8-10 hours plus travel time, spend a lot of time at it, and they hate what they do. So the key to being successful in life is to find your passion. What are you passionate about? What do you love? What's your go-to? I mean, when you, for me, when I was growing up, if I had a bad day, I'd always cure that bad day with going out on my basket at my house and just start shooting and just start, you know, practicing and working on my game. And it made everything better. No matter what kind of bad day I had, it made everything better. And so it was my true passion. And so I picked the kind of thing that I could do for a living so I could coach all my kids. And I've coached over 3,000 games. And I couldn't have done all that coaching if I would have been an employee somewhere working for somebody and having a job that I didn't like, right? So being able to identify, okay, that's my passion, that's what I love, so I'm going to figure out ways to be able to make sure that's in my life, that I'm doing it. And so when I hear this kind of stuff from you, Joe, that's what I'm thinking of, is that, you know, you really have had enough life experiences. You're not very old, but you've had some life experiences that have helped you to identify what is my real passion. And what a blessing to find that and to realize that in your 20s, right? I mean, that'll serve you the rest of your life. No matter what you do, that will serve you. So I think that is such an exciting thing. I'm just so excited for you, and I'm excited that you had a lot of naysayers out there, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people that didn't believe in you, and you just kept believing in yourself, and then you hooked up with somebody like Jesse that helped you with the skills and, more importantly, the mental toughness.
Yeah.
To say, you know, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. And that's all you need, is just somebody in your corner,
yeah,
that's really believing in you.
Agreed.
And that takes care of all the naysayers, mm-hmm. right? So it's and that's what I love about what we do, is that we build relationships with kids. We get to know kids. Because we're on a one-on-one pretty much basis with the kids we train. And so we can really help mold their life and help them achieve the goals and the dreams that they really have. So that's where, if we trained in a big group like most trainers do, we wouldn't be able to do that. We wouldn't be able to have that relationship. So I'm loving this podcast because it's exactly what when I started Complete Shooter, it's exactly what my dream was to be able to help kids like you, Joe, be able to go chase your dreams. And you know, you're just beginning that, right? It's just a beginner, but I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. It really, like I said, it really wouldn't have been possible without Complete Shooter. So I will talk about Complete Shooter till the day I die. And even being a trainer in training, I got to experience the same things like you were talking about, the connections that you make with people.
There you go.
And just wanting to be, yep, having that person in your corner, because I want to be that, and I will strive to be that. I mean, oh man, what I would, I mean, if I had someone like Jesse when I was, or even you, when I was 13, 14, maybe even 10, 11, 12, I would be, yeah, in a whole different,
yeah,
whole,
that's so different, true,
area.
So true.
But it also happened for a reason too. And I'm really happy that it happened when it did, mm-hmm, and how it all just came to fruition. It's really amazing for me. So
yeah. I think one of the coolest things is like all the other people we've interviewed, right? We're always like, we always ask who helped you like get to where you're at. Right. We've talked about that a little bit. And having a good team around you, right? People that believe in you,
mm-hmm,
is super important, but it's not the determining factor, right? In the end, it's up to you,
mm-hmm,
right? And you had to make that choice to keep working. And like a lot of times when we talk about like following your passion, right? Like usually the examples are like being an artist or a musician, right? Where it's like, okay, you're not going to make any money.
Mm-hmm.
And so people try it for a couple of years and don't make any money, and then they quit, right? Same thing with basketball too, right? You could be trying to make a team somewhere and not make it, and all that effort was kind of just like wasted or whatever. But there's that transition period, right? You had to be willing to do a full-time job, mm-hmm, so you could pay for the training.
Correct.
Right? And I think that's usually where most people kind of give up, is they're not willing to work in that transition part, right? And even like you, Kirk, like you had another job before,
mm-hmm,
and that's kind of what set you up to be able to do this, right?
Exactly.
And so that transition part is super important. That's where you really figure out who you are, right? And so you've kind of figured out who you are and who you want to be,
mm-hmm,
and so all that effort is all worth it now, right?
It is, all of it. And it's still going to be worth it, especially with how many hours that I'm about to put in with Natchi. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, boy. This is just the beginning of this story.
Yes.
You know, a year from now, after you've played a year at Wenatchee and had that experience, we can get you back on another podcast, and we can talk about what was that first year like and what did you learn. And there's a lot of things that you'll be able to help our listeners with. And that's the reason we do these podcasts, is so we can, you know, we can sell the dream to the kids that are listening. And I think this is a big deal for all the listeners out there to hear your story and know that if you just stay focused and stay focused on your dream, you know, you can make things happen. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I think, again, I mentioned it already, but Joe, you have like no shame in asking people to do stuff, right? I mean,
yeah,
like most people, like I said, are like, I'm not going to ask a coach to watch me play. Like if they haven't heard about me, if they don't want to, then they don't want me, right? But like, so you did that, right? No shame, send it out to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You had no shame asking somebody to film your rec games, mm-hmm, so that you had film to send them.
Which is even weird, because it's like, you don't see anybody recording their their men's league games, like,
you know.
And this, so they're more weird about it than you are, and you're just like, bro, like, I'm just trying to get film for myself, like, please, like, I'm not gonna put you on some crazy camera or anything like that, I'm just recording for myself.
Yeah. So how many coaches did you contact
total? I messaged every single school in the Northwestern Athletic Conference, so I think there's like around 30.
Okay.
At least 30. So I went through and I messaged every team in Oregon at first, because it was just more.
And you kind of focused just on junior colleges?
Yes. Okay. Yes. More. And the reason being is because I would put myself as pretty far behind.
You need to develop.
Yes. I definitely needed to develop. And I felt like those schools was where exactly I could do that. Also, my brother lives up in Washington. So it was kind of like the ultimate dream scenario of being able to live with my brother, be able to see my brother all the time and go to school and play.
Oh, that's cool.
Play college ball. Yeah. And it ended up happening. But yeah, I messaged every single college, every single one, And I got about three responses and ended up working out with two of them. And got offers from two of them and then made my decision. And this is a very hard decision. Because, I mean, I had it set over there at the other school. Yeah. I had it really set.
The perks were better over there.
Yes. Right? Yes. I called Jesse and talked to him about everything and laid it all out and told him, you know, what do you think is best? And his advice was, of course, what do I think is best? What do you want to do? I told him, I was like, I want to accept that challenge. It doesn't matter if it's hard financially right now or whatever. Like, I will go there. I'll get a part-time job. I'll do what I have to do to pay the school fees and whatever. But I really want to make this happen.
Yeah.
So, and I will make this happen no matter what. So.
Well, and that's cool that you had a relationship with Jesse that you could share something as intimate as that with making that kind of decision, because you need people like that in your life that you can go to.
Yeah.
And get some, you know, just kind of have somebody you can bounce something off of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's so that has the same understanding that you do. Right. And so that's a really big deal.
When I was on the phone with him, I was like, oh, wait, because he told me he went to, you know, a school up there. But I never really caught the name. And then all of a sudden he's like, wait, I went to Wenatchee too. I was like, no way. Like, and I was just mind blown because I did not register that until the end, until finally talking to him about it, which kind of helped the decision too, because Jesse knows, you know, he knows Wenatchee. So, and you can kind of base what your experience is going to be like, how other people had their experience. So, and Jesse's always talked good about his college experience there. So, and Jesse's a monster at playing basketball. So if they helped develop any of his skill that he has now, my goodness, I can't imagine what they're going to do for my game.
Well, thanks. Well, we've had some good one-on-one battles.
I mean, my goodness, a lot of like 30 minutes of me just taking L's after L's after L's, but it's worth it. It's all like, even just stuff you do, I'm just like, oh, that's so pretty. Oh, and then even like, oh, I almost got it that time, or like, I almost blocked you that time. Like, I'm so like, I'm learning your moves a little bit, and he'll always alter it somehow. So good.
It was getting harder and harder every day, every week.
Well, that's funny because you said that you were getting your butt kicked. And while you're getting your butt kicked, you're going, oh, that's a pretty move.
Oh, yeah. No, I really am. I really am. I really am. But I just love the game, man. It's so pretty. I just love everything about the game. You're from your first... My first thing was for me was Space Jam, and I fell in love with basketball watching Michael Jordan and all the Looney Tunes and everything like that. I just wanted to be that. I wanted to fly.
Greatest bad movie ever made.
Greatest movie ever made. Greatest.
Greatest.
Oh, that's good. I think that the things that you have learned, I mean, you've definitely developed your basketball skills better and all that kind of stuff, but in this journey that you've been taking, one of the things that I think is the coolest is that you're learning so many life's lessons. They're going to serve you the rest of your life, and you know, you can't put a price on that. So I think that's one of the coolest things here.
So for all the young Hoopers out there, what's some advice you'd give them?
Young Hoopers, learn all the basic stuff first. So like, get your dribbling down, get really good at being able to handle the ball, I'd say. That's the first thing, just because I didn't do that at first. And if I could go back, I really wish that I would have focused on learning how to dribble the ball at first. Just don't sell yourself short. I mean, you can, like, I went and achieved it as well. So I went and made college. You could do whatever you want to do. If you're not playing, keep playing. Find a league, find a men's league, find a showcase, find something. You got to get you. You just can't be afraid to put yourself out there, especially if you want to go far. Like if you want to make it to the next level or get better, you can't be afraid of judgment for sure.
Well, Winston Churchill said in a speech, he said the words "never quit" in one speech 11 times in a row.
Wow.
And that's what you've done. You've never quit. So I think that's a big message you can send to the...
And there's going to be everybody, there's going to be a lot of people that are better than you. Because, I mean, when I first started, I was doing skill sessions with kids that were 2 or 3 years, 4 years younger than me. And they were doing stuff that I couldn't even do.
Yeah.
And it's like, dang, I'm embarrassed. Like, I'm 22. Like, they know I'm older. Like, I got facial hair. They don't. Like, I drive myself to the shooting. I'm not sure if they do yet, but.
Like, yeah, I drive
myself. You know what I'm saying?
I drive myself.
You know? Yeah. It's just, it's. But I didn't care. Like, and all of them know. All of them, I mean, they'll see it too. If you think that people are judging you for putting in work, they'll see what you want to achieve, and they'll support you either way. Everybody that I played with and did skill sessions with supported me in what I wanted to do, even though they were better than me or knew more technique wise stuff than me.
I mean, to be fair, they've been with me for like 3 years.
Yeah, so. but still.
Yeah, but again, you weren't afraid of failure, mm-mm, right? And mm-mm, if you're afraid of failure, then you don't deserve to be successful, right? That was a quote I heard the other day.
I like that.
Right? So true.
So you're not afraid to send emails that will never get responded to, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge lesson that a lot of people can learn from you, is just do it, right? And in the end, if nothing comes out of it, then at least you did it.
Yeah, and I mean, we're all pretty young, too. I mean, like, I'm 20, so, I mean, if I go up here and play college and I decide it's not what I want to do, I'll be 24 with an associate's degree and have a whole world ahead of me.
Ahead of you.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
So what do I have to lose at this point?
Yeah.
I don't have anything to lose.
Exactly.
So.
And I think, like, I use this as an example all the time, but like a lot of people will listen to your story and be like, oh, well, he's 6'6".
That's
right?
True.
I'm still only 5'10", right? But one of the players I played with in college, he was, I don't even know if he was 5'8", but he was really small. Ended up scoring, he played at Wenatchee for 2 years, transferred to another school, ended up scoring 70 points twice.
Wow.
Averaged about 35. Both years he was there.
It's a dangerous kid.
Right. 5'8", white kid.
Dangerous.
Right? So it really doesn't matter, you know, if you're tall or short, right? If you're willing to put in the work, you can get there.
Agreed. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Agreed.
I love that story.
Yeah. So any last words, Joe? Anything that you want to share, something you've learned, something you're looking forward to?
No, not. I mean, I kind of already explained that I'm just looking forward to this amazing opportunity that was presented in front of me. I'm words cannot describe how appreciative I am of both what you guys have done, in creating this, and it wouldn't be possible without you guys. It really wouldn't have been. And I hope to repay that in the future, to be honest. I was training to become a trainer, you know, so I like teaching kids, and I like that stuff, man. Anything in the game. And I really want to give back to my peers, to people that are younger than me. Could use that person in their corner.
Yeah. Yep.
I definitely want to be that person. So yeah. Just keep going. Don't give up.
My last words that I want to say is that, Joe, the one thing that I really like about you and in listening to this podcast is that you have a lot of appreciation and gratitude. And if you can keep focused on gratitude and appreciation, then your attitude's always going to be correct if you always focus on gratitude and appreciation. Even when you, the better you get, the more gratitude you have, you know, you're just going to, it's just going to help keep building on that. So, and you have that, so don't ever lose that.
Yes, sir.
Always have that.
Yes, sir.
That appreciation and gratitude part of your soul. Have that.
Absolutely. And since the beginning of this podcast, Joe's been our number one fan.
Literally, listen to every single podcast. I mean, he told me he was going to start a podcast, and I about freaked out because I was so excited. Like, a podcast for Complete Shooter? Like, this is crazy. Like, imagine imagine the things you could talk about.
Yeah.
How many people you could help.
Yeah. And we've talked about a lot of stuff, and Joe said he never thought he'd be on the podcast as a guest. But
especially with people that have been on this podcast. To those Hoopers that have been on this podcast, my goodness, you guys just keep doing your thing. You'll get as far as you want to go.
Yeah.
But I definitely look up to you guys for sure, even though you guys are a lot younger than me. Goodness. Yeah. Goodness gracious.
It's been an honor to have you on here, Joe.
Thank you.
And really grateful that you're able to share your story and that I've been able to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But again, as a trainer, we always say, you know, you get 90% of the credit, right? It's all you. We help, but it's all you. So really excited for you to go up there and kick some butt up there. And,
thank you.
Yeah, live the dream, right?
That's the goal.
And we'll come up and we'll come up and watch a game.
Yeah, you can also stream them too. So
that's true.
Yeah.
So anyway, super excited. Thanks for being on here, Joe.
Thank you for the opportunity. Super excited. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Hey, good luck to you, Joe.
Thank you.
We'll be praying for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So that's where we'll end here. Tune in next week. As always, if you guys have any questions or if you want to start training with us, let us know. You can visit our website. Other than that, have a great week and tune in next week.
All right. Awesome.
Peace.